It's 12 and Up, Season 10, Episode 10, with your host, Jonathan Malone, and guest host, Adam Erickson.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, there we are. There we are. 12 and Up is a podcast about Christian faith and culture in the modern age. Your host, Jonathan Malone, is the pastor of the First Baptist Church of East Greenwich, Rhode Island. Adam Erickson is the Director of Education for the Raven Foundation and the Minister of Faith Development at the Lake Oswego United Church of Christ. He educates and he develops. This podcast is brought to you by Elisha Otis, for centuries bringing people to new heights. And...
Who is Elisha Otis before we go on?
It's a sponsor. I will tell you. Just let me do this other sponsor.
Okay.
I'm gonna lose all my funding. And overlooked liturgical holidays. Reformation Sunday, Pentecost, Ascension. These are all really important. And we're back. So Adam Erickson, you have no idea who Elisha Otis is, do you?
No, but he's bringing us to bigger heights or something, so that's awesome.
Elisha Otis is the inventor of the elevator.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Wow. The inventor of the elevator. When did Elisha Otis live?
1860-something.
Nicely done. The elevator in 1860s.
Or
wow,
maybe,
that's awesome.
Maybe
I had
80s,
no idea.
Maybe 90s. I don't know. But, I mean, late 1800s. Let's say that.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that all these, you know, I've got to pick different sponsors because these correlate with the main topic, but that'll be the next episode.
That's awesome. I like it. Elisha Otis must have left money
for
you.
Elisha Otis.
Oh, Elisha.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. He's like the second one after. Elijah Otis was taken up in a fiery elevator, actually.
That's tricky.
That was the vision that it was Elisha's dad, Elijah Otis, who... fiery elevator took him up, and Elisha said, I can make that work.
Let's package that up here on Earth.
Yeah.
Put it in an elevator, because we're going to elevate people up, and there you go.
And there we go.
Brilliant.
And that's what the disciples were trying to do at the Transfiguration.
So inspirational.
Yeah.
So it's just
it's
great
amazing.
Stuff. And Elisha Otis had the foresight to know that Jonathan Malone would create 12 Enough,
yep,
and he put in his will a little bit of money for you so that you could keep the podcast going.
Yeah, thank you to the Elisha Otis family.
That's brilliant.
And Otis Elevators are actually still a major corporation, like major industry company.
Wow.
Yeah, when I lived in Dayton, Ohio, they had one of their headquarters, not their headquarters, but they had a corporate building there, the Otis building. And the irony of ironies, it was only one story tall. No room for an elevator in that building. Made me think, do you really, how good do you feel about your product there, Otis people? Anyway, Adam, great to have you on the show.
It's great to be on the show. Thank you for having me. This is my third time on the show. So I'm so happy to be here. The last time I was on the show was... this really great celebration of your 100th episode.
Yeah, that was great. That was a lot of fun.
It was so much fun. And so much fun that you made fun of me afterwards for being a sycophant because I just agreed with everything that you said. I was just like, yes, Jonathan, that's fantastic.
Oh, you listened
beautifully to... put, Jonathan. Brilliant.
There's a reason why I asked you to be on the show again.
Well, not today, Malone. Not today. I'm coming after you, my man.
I got to be careful about my intros. Oh, I think I said you're not a sycophant. I think that's...
Yeah, but I knew what you meant by that.
Oh, it was actually by saying you are. By saying
yes,
you're not, you are. Yeah.
You brought it up just to dig into me a little bit for saying yes to everything that you said. That was only because I wanted to celebrate your 100th
thanks.
Episode.
You're only being nice.
But now I'm out for blood.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. As you drink from your UCC mug.
Do you like that, the comma?
Yeah. I thought at first it was a bass clef. And I was like, oh, good for you. Then I realized it's a comma, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Don't put a period where God put a comma.
Oh, that's right, yeah. You guys are still running with that, huh?
I guess. And everybody's welcome. You're here. God loves you just as you are. Isn't just come on in.
Like wherever you are in life's journey, you're welcome here or something like that.
Yeah, just come on, unless you're conservative.
Right.
I shouldn't have said that out loud.
Yeah, come on.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah, Mike Denton's a much better spokesperson for the UCC.
That was not fair of me at all.
So for folks who don't know, the UCC is the United Church of Christ, a fine, historic denomination, very similar in many ways to the American Baptists, except they just do baptism wrong.
Yes, that's how we do baptism. We do a lot of things wrong.
And
we say it's okay. God still loves you. God still loves us, even though we do things wrong. It's okay. It's all good.
If I could only get to that attitude, that would be wonderful.
It's all good.
So you work with the Raven Foundation, and I'll tell you, I cannot escape Rene Girard, and it is driving me nuts.
We have, before the show, we have already scapegoated.
Yeah, we did. You're right.
100 people. And we didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Actually, we did. I knew it. I was guiding you in that direction to scapegoat.
You just followed right along. I did. Well, I had to imitate your desires to scapegoat.
That's how we work, man. It's how we roll.
But this episode, this will be the last mention of Girard. I will not allow it.
Oh, okay. See, this is truly who I am. I'm just so passive, and I'm like, whatever you want, Jonathan, it's good. I am a sycophant. Yeah. This is just who I am.
These are the people that you can reference. Karl Barth.
Okay.
Karl Henry. Karl Marx. Carl Starling, the noted film score composer for the Looney Tunes cartoons.
Oh, okay. All right.
Any other Carls that are out there that I'm not thinking of? It's an all Carls podcast. That's what I'm saying.
Carl Malone. My son's into basketball.
Oh, yeah, mine is.
Carl Malone was kind of a badass basketball player back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I was like, he's not anymore, is he?
Oh, no, he's not anymore. He's old school. Yeah, but he's the only other Carl that comes to mind at the moment. Okay, Carl. Well,
folks, write in with all the other Carls that we should be aware of. And it's with a K or a C. I mean, this is a very inclusive podcast.
I think all the Carls we've done have been Ks, so let's exclude all the Cs.
Well, Carl Starling, the composer, he's a C.
Oh, he should be excluded. Composers? Come on. No, I know that you are a big music buff.
Oh man.
And what was that you called this comma? You called it something out of
bass clef, but the
I have no idea what that is. So bass clef. Something about music.
Never mind. Yeah. It's the superior clef. That's all you need to know.
That sounds superior. That sounds awesome.
All that being said, this is a long intro. It's great to have you on the show again, Adam. It's always good to connect with you.
Hey, it's great to be here. I have a little bit of a cold, so I'll try to like get through without any bad voice noises and coughs and stuff. But we'll do fine. Yeah. The good news is that my voice is deeper and sexier.
Yeah, it sounds great. Oh, it is, yeah.
Like a bass cleft.
Like a bass cleft singer, yes. Right? Not cleft, just cleft. C-L-E-F-F.
All I know is that my voice is superior right now. So.
Your voice is superior. That's true. I have that nice whiny nasally voice, and you have the good deep voice.
We're gonna go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that. All right, let's get into our Rylage.
Rylage. I'm talking about Rylage.
Yeah, it's kind of there's so many things to be pissed off about in the world right now.
Yeah,
and. Here you go. This one's kind of personal. Yesterday was Mother's Day.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, remember that?
Oh no, I did send my mom a card. Okay, we're good. We're good.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I love Mother's Day. It's been a really rough 3, actually 6 weeks.
Okay.
Because cancer. I'm just going to get right into it right now. I'm pissed off because of cancer. This is my mother died from cancer in the year 2000. So this was my 17th year without my mother. Six weeks ago, found out that this woman at my church just discovered that she had cancer, her second bout of cancer. And Saturday, the day before Mother's Day, we did her funeral. I went in and saw her. She has two women, daughters, in their mid-20s.
Yeah.
Their father died of cancer when they were 13 and 15.
Oh, my goodness.
So their parents have both died from cancer, and it just brought up all of this stuff for me and my mom. And my my mom's brother has ocular cancer at the moment.
Oh, geez.
My dad's brother just discovered that he has cancer.
Yeah.
And so my Rylage has to do with cancer and death. And it's just one of the things that I love about the Judeo-Christian tradition is the protest/lament movement. It just seems to be based on this idea that something's not right in the world, and we need to name that this isn't right. All of this stuff in the world just starts happening, and you start thinking, oh, it's just the way the world is, how it is. But there's this great tradition of protest movement that says, no, this is not right, and that God is setting the world right somehow. And it's hard at this. You start just asking questions about why do these things happen, what is God's role in all of this. And then here's where I get really pissed off, is where Joe Biden does this moonshot to end cancer, and then Trump starts taking money away from scientific research. And here's what makes me angry.
Yeah.
You have a very, very low chance, point something of dying from a terrorist attack.
Right.
You have a 25% chance of getting cancer. If there was something in our world that was that big of a terrorist threat, we would be going after it.
Yeah.
But right now we're taking money away from scientific research that could end cancer. It's just I don't know whether I'm literally, I don't know whether to be angry or just to cry, because it's so sad that there's not this I mean, I'm all about keeping us safe and stuff from terrorists, I guess, but the threat is just so much more from stuff like cancer, and we don't spend enough time or resources trying to defeat that terror threat.
Yeah, that's such a great way to put it, because I haven't heard that comparison, and as soon as you said it, I'm like, holy crap, you're right. Why are we not throwing trillions of dollars into cancer research, as opposed to, why don't we build a wall, however that's going to look, around cancer?
We already have the greatest military the world has ever seen. We outspend the next seven nations in a row. Outspend them on our military budget. So I don't know. I mean, I'm almost at the point where I'm feeling helpless.
Right. Well, yeah.
In all of this. And it's just I want to keep the spiritual wisdom, the spiritual practice of protest and all of that. But I just feel I'm at the point where I'm almost feeling defeated in all of this. So, yeah.
I hear that. I hear that in you. And I can understand especially the way that you've just – You shared the whole narrative of your mother, and then this woman in the church who's also their father, and then relatives. How much can you take?
Right? Yeah, yeah, and it's yeah.
And add to that, as clergy, We are not really given the place to say, I just don't think I can do this, or I don't have the hope anymore. You know, when we stand up there to do a funeral and participate in a funeral, there is a, if the folks who are lay people listen to this, you know, and this part of what we do is part of our calling. This isn't a Rylage so much, but it adds to the fatigue. There's a disassociated moment where we have to take whatever are those emotions that's going on in us, put them aside so we can be present for the family. And so we can actually say, this isn't right, and you deserve to be angry about this death, and God is angry with you, right? Because that's a good word to speak. You know, that anger is so good and so powerful. And also to say, and I hear that you're tired and you're hurting, and I want you to know that God is with you in that. You know, that's part of our calling.
Yeah.
But holy crap, you know, we're also human.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I hear your sense of like,
you know, I'm with you on like, I guess intellectually or what, I don't know. Theologically, I'm with you on the whole God is with you and present, and God is angry at this too. And,
right.
You know, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm also like, you know, there's a part of me that's like wants to drop a big F-bomb at God. You know, I know that God, like for me, God is not this cosmic entity that's in control of everything. And
right.
So once you go there, you start saying, oh, well, then God causes cancer to happen in this person and this person, and God causes all of these horrible things right. to happen. I just think that
that's bad theology.
That's bad theology, but it creeps into my mind. And I know that it creeps into everybody else's mind too. And while these girls are suffering from the loss, these
yeah.
young women are suffering, they're like, you know, you start blaming God. You start saying, what the heck? So,
yeah.
Well, you know, so it's hard to navigate those waters. Like even for me, as I'm standing up in front and I'm offering these prayers for this woman's life and that God is with us in the midst of the pain. And, you know, I want to do a C.S. Lewis and just start shaking my fist at God. And, you know,
what do you think would happen if you did that?
Well, I do. I do.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what – I don't know. I mean, my faith isn't all that shaken, but there are times when I think God just doesn't care. Like, whatever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The way that I know that God cares is that there were so many people at that funeral. Mm. And the love that they were showing to one another, the care that they were showing to one another – to strangers, to people who they've been worshiping with for 20, 30 years, just the love and the care that they show to one another, I trust that is God working in the world and that is what God is like. It's hard.
I think there is – yeah, that witness is so powerful. And I do think there are – times when it's still justifiable to shake your fist and say, God, if you're all powerful, then why couldn't this once you have stepped in and done something?
Yeah.
You know, I get that the free will thing. I get that, you know, you're working with us and trying to walk and you're walking along with us. And there's times when you're not going to step in. But maybe this could have been a time that you did.
Yeah. And, you know, there I say this I don't know how I say this. There are so many other people that I could be like, God, could you please strike this person with cancer? But this woman was so good and sweet, and she devoted multiple Sundays to teaching children when it's so hard to find people to teach children during worship service.
Well, 'cause children are awful.
I know, right?
I mean, who wants to teach children? They ask questions. Woman, they're sticky.
She gave up her Sundays to teach children.
That's
and,
huge.
You know, it's just the divine justice in it all. So I don't know. I guess that I come to the point where God is not all powerful or that God's power is shown in this weakness to be with us during these horrible, horrific times. And I know a crap just happens in the world. It just, you can't avoid it. You can't blame you can blame God for it, but God doesn't cause it to happen.
Yeah.
And God is just wades through it with us and models for us how to do that
but
with
boys,
one another.
That really is infuriating.
Yeah. So I blame, I don't know, I got to do something with my anger. So I blame Trump for everything in my life right now. But especially for not taking it seriously enough,
right.
And you know, taking money away from scientific research. Not, you know, we haven't even touched climate change yet, but
right,
yeah,
right.
There we are.
Yeah, I see so what that's, you're doing there too. You almost tried to do a scapegoat thing, and I'm not. I know.
We almost went Rene Girard there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no,
my bad.
No, if there's a Carl Girard, maybe.
Awesome. So that's my rileage.
That's a
where
heavy
I'm at.
Rileage.
I am feeling heavy. I'm feeling really heavy at the moment about all of it. And you know, Mother's Day was great. Celebrated my wife, my mother-in-law was here. You know, it's good.
Yeah.
But also really, really heavy. So, and that's the other thing about being in church, being a pastor on Mother's Day and these other things, like you know, you want to celebrate mothers, but not everybody has a good relationship with their mom,
right?
Who is alive, and not everybody has their mom around. So
right.
it's a tricky day to navigate in and of itself. So, and there we were, these young women show up to church on Mother's Day, like the day after the funeral. They're there, and
they
don't always come to church. So it was incredible to see them there. And, so that, I guess, gives me some hope. I mean, they're fantastic young women doing great things in the world, actually doing scientific research on diseases.
Oh, okay.
One of them. And the other one teaches math at a middle school.
Oh, jeez. So, right?
Yeah. They're doing fantastic work. So anyway, that gives me hope.
Okay, good. And yeah, let's try to readjust our priorities about where we spend our money. I think that's a really very on the surface kind of anger, but that deeper theological anger, that's an episode in itself that perhaps we should revisit.
Yeah, let's revisit that sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, my rileage is small and petty. Thanks, Adam. Thanks a lot.
Glad to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy.
Set you up nicely on that one.
Yeah, you really did. Mine. But I'm going for it anyways.
Let's do it.
I wrote it down. I'm going to just go ahead and it will make me look really small and petty. But what are you going to do? So it's a
It'll make me look really good. So
yeah,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, people will say, you know, the UCC produces sensitive, thinking pastors who really take the worries of the world seriously. Me, on the other hand, so my rileage is yard work.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, right. But here's the worst. First of all, I hate yard work. I just can't get into it. Now, if I had time to do something like garden, like to grow things that would be beneficial to my existence, I might get into that, but it's not a priority for me. It's not what I spend time doing. I compost because that's really cool. I just like watching things fall apart and everything like that. It's just cool to watch. Nice. You know, steam comes out of it and everything. But yard work, cutting, mowing the lawn, I do it because social conventions. Mm-hmm. I prune like every 6 months or less than. But here's the thing that really gets me. When other people do yard work in the rain, like it's raining out today, and just across the street, there's a crew out there doing yard work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're getting paid to do it, so they're like, it's not like they're saying, like, I just got it, but they're doing it. But that sense of, okay, you know, take a day off. Like, just let it grow. Just don't – it's not that important. We'll be okay. It's okay if it looks a little bit sloppy. It's raining out. You shouldn't be cutting the grass in the rain. I was brought up with that. And you don't cut the grass when the grass is wet, which means you only have like a small window of time.
Yep.
And
if you happen to miss that window,
then
whoops.
You got it. Yeah, right. Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, I've got stuff scheduled in the afternoon. I can only mow in the morning, but the dew was heavy, and so I just can't mow.
There you go.
Can't do it. Can't do it. But when people are out there doing yard work when it's, you know, not the ideal conditions, it's like giving me the finger.
They're showing you up, man.
They're not just showing me up. I mean, they're showing me up, but they're also saying, this is what we think about you. And we are going above and beyond. Well, you can't even do the bare necessity on a rainy day. No, and I won't. I won't. I will not. I will
you
not.
You can't even just take care of your own house, Johnson.
That's basically what.
Come on.
That's what it's. That's the message I'm getting. You can't even take care of your own. They're gonna call social services on me probably to take my children away because I don't keep my yard cut. Because they're going to get – ticks will get in there. They'll get bit, get Lyme disease, and die.
Ouch.
Yeah, I know. I know, right?
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, I'm a horrible parent. That's what
man. Yikes. So how is the weather in Rhode Island today?
Today it's overcast. It was rainy. It's still wet. I mean, it was raining this morning. And tomorrow's
no
supposed to be
work.
Nice. Yeah.
No yard work today.
Yeah, take
That's
the day
awesome.
Off. Take the day off. It's okay.
There's always tomorrow. Just do it tomorrow.
Yeah. The grass doesn't grow that quickly.
No. What do you have against yard work?
Anyway. I think for me, there's other things I'd rather be doing.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. When I do yard work and I look back, I'm like, oh, that looks nice. And I feel like I accomplished something. But it's not – I'd rather be going for a hike.
It is so interesting because – as we said, yesterday was Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And my wife wanted to spend the afternoon doing yard work.
Oh. Well, you got her then, huh?
Right? Yes. So we were edging the lawn, mowing the lawn.
Oh, you edge it too, huh?
Well, my wife edges.
Okay.
And I'm like, why? Why do you do this? Why? There are so many other things that I would rather be doing with my time than edging the lawn.
Yeah.
But she looks at it afterwards and she goes, it just looks great. We have a really nice looking lawn.
It
looks good. Yeah. Hopefully she won't listen to this pod. She won't listen to this. She doesn't care what I have to say.
No.
It looks fine. It's a good looking lawn.
Right.
And my wife keeps it that way and I follow her lead on it. But there are so many things that I would. It's just weird. Like I just start thinking, why would you do this? Like Mother's Day? Just relax. Just hang out. But she is just on it, like working in the house and doing yard work and stuff. And I'm just like, I just want to take a nap.
Yeah, right. Well, it's working. See, now, my father loves yard work and it's very relaxing for him. Mm. It's his way of unwinding.
Yeah.
I totally get that. So, you know, but he wouldn't, well, he might do it in the rain, but that's his own issues. He's got to take that, you know.
Yeah.
He needs to find other ways to relax. You know, but I have different ways of relaxing. So, don't impose this chore on me. I do the dishes because we eat off them, right? And because we will get diseases and get sick and die if I don't clean the dishes. So that's something I'm happy to do that.
Yeah.
That's a necessary obligation to live, to survive.
Yeah.
Yard work? I'd be fine if we just grew moss.
Moss is good.
Yeah,
just let the moss live. Just let
moss,
it grow.
Why are people so against moss anyways?
I don't know.
And mushrooms. Moss and mushrooms.
I don't like mushrooms.
You don't?
No.
Oh,
I don't like eating mushrooms. I don't like looking at mushrooms. They're gross. Well, they're nasty.
Well, you're gross.
Fungus. It's just fungus.
It is, but we have some mushroom growers in Rhode Island.
Oh.
And they bring their products to the farmers market. And they are really good. They're really fine tasting mushrooms.
Okay, fungus. You eat fungus. It's just gross.
You're gross. So there.
Okay, I'll take that. Yes, that's good.
All right. So to wrap up, we'll start light. Go to heavy. Yard work.
Don't eat fungus, people. Yeah, that's the wrap up. Well, do not eat fungus.
I mean,
it's not good for you.
Hold on now. Hold on. You know who loved to collect mushrooms was John Cage, noted composer.
Hey, all right.
Yard work. Do it, don't do it. It's fine. But look, at when it's raining out, when it's wet, when you're not going to get a nice clean cut from what I'm told, then just don't. Just relax. Find something else to do. You know, read your Bible. Come on, people. Read your Bibles.
Take a nap. Take a nap.
Start to read the Bible and take a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bible will put you to sleep. Oh, man. Just do that.
So fast. So fast. And then, you know, I find that place. There needs to be times when you can just let your anger fly. Let your rage out to God, the world, and everything. And that is important. And to see where God is in that presence. Because God's there with us in our anger, even when it's directed at God. That I really believe. And we'll definitely do this as a main topic. But also, let's get our priorities straight when it comes to cancer research, taking care of people, protecting people, all that stuff. Come on. It's just wrong.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Let's do that.
Good. Good, Riley. Adam, since you have the sexy voice today.
You got it.
I'm wondering if you'd be willing to read John 14, 15 to 21.
I'm reading from the NRSV.
Oh, good. Okay. The authorized version.
Yes. It's not the King James.
No, this is the one that Jesus prefers.
The NRSV. Okay, good.
Yes.
Awesome. So 15 to what?
21.
21. Okay. Yeah. Here you go. All right. So Jesus is talking. And he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them."
The Gospel of John, especially in this part, it gets convoluted in some spots. You know, this is part of Jesus, what they call the farewell discourse, and it's right around the Lord's Supper, so it's this time. One commentary I read said it's like a symposium. Like after they eat, they're just all lounging around, and Jesus is just teaching. Mm. You know, just kind of sharing some thoughts of that, and so. And you know, they do a, "If you love me, you know, those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." And you can get a little lost in some of that language.
Yeah.
But there is some great stuff in there. Adam, you said you really love this passage. What is it about the passage that really resonates with you?
This is, I mean, I have to go Girardian on you.
I will allow it.
Because this is where I think Jesus starts talking about the Holy Spirit as the advocate,
mm-hmm.
as the paraclete. The paraclete is the one who, in the Greek, calls out, stands by you and calls out.
Yeah.
This is the one who advocates
for
you. And this is where Jesus starts using paraclete language for the Holy Spirit.
As opposed to just noumena.
Right, yeah. And so for me, this matters because every time I talk with you, I also bring up the Satan.
Well, you're stuck on Satan, that's clear.
Yes, which is the other thing that Gerard helps me out so much with is the Satan as the accuser. So in the book of Job, you get Satan, the one who goes around making accusations against people. And so this is what the Satan is. And the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is the one who stands next to you as you are being accused to defend you. This is the one of the jobs of God, is the one who stands with the victims of human culture, those who are being accused. And this you see this throughout. This gives the early Christians this, I don't know, motivation, this strength in order to go into the world and speak truth to power, to live their lives, and not be so overwhelmed with fear from what could happen to them. So you often get these passages from Jesus where he says, you know, don't be afraid, let your hearts not be troubled.
Right, believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house.
I mean, but when you start thinking of the early Christians, when these things are, you've got Nero who captures Christians and sets them on fire during his parties. You have Domitian in the 90s who is persecuting Christians. I mean,
this is the 90s, people, not the 1990s, the actual, the 90s. Just want to be clear about that.
You know, I mean, my Christian history professors would want me to be careful to say that early Christians aren't always being persecuted, but there are these moments during early Christian church that were horrific. Yeah. And there's always, although they weren't always persecuted, there was always the threat that that was going to happen. So how do these early gospel writers end up saying, hey, don't be afraid? I would be scared.
Nice.
So like and this I think is it, the advocate, the Holy Spirit is standing with you, going through this with you, and there's something more, there's something bigger than even your own, I don't know, pain, your own death, and look towards that, look towards the bigger picture, I guess, that's happening.
Yeah, well, and Jesus is preparing them for what it's going to be like when he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is pre-crucifixion, but we read this with post-resurrection eyes, and we still read it as, you know, after the ascension, how are we going to be on our own? Well, the Spirit will be with us. The Advocate will be with us. And I also wonder if we could look at the Advocate going both ways, not only to advocate on our behalf, but also maybe to advocate on God's behalf to us.
Yeah.
So those times when we say, like, all right, I'm done. I can't do this anymore, and I don't believe God anymore. And the Spirit says, hold on, God's still there. God's still with you. And because, there'll be times when it just gets so hard and so awful, like we were talking about in your Rylage.
Yeah.
And we need the Spirit to come and to give us the faith that we don't have.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I also love this, you know, I will not leave you orphaned.
Yeah.
I'm not abandoning you.
Yeah.
To the world. So you've got the ascension. Is this Jesus just going up to a safe place up in heaven so that he can avoid all of this? Well, no. This is Jesus has to go in order to make room for the Paraclete, in order to make room for the Holy Spirit to be with us. So there is this presence and absence, that paradox. That's going on in here. You know, at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, I will be with you till the end of the age.
Right.
But he ascends. And the way that he is with us is through the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, who is not essentially different than Jesus. You know, you get all of this. Another thing that I like about this is that Jesus in the Gospel of John is often saying, you see me, you see the Father.
Right.
The Father is not essentially different than I am.
Some good Trinitarian stuff going on there.
And you get that same thing here with the Advocate. The Advocate is essentially the same.
Yeah,
You can trust that the character of the Son is the same character, is the same. There's no absolute difference between them. The Trinitarian language gets a little murky. But you can trust that the – that Jesus is with us through the Holy Spirit, who is the essentially the same spirit as who was with Jesus, the one who is for you, not against you.
Right.
And that, I think, is what I mean by essentially the same. They are all for us, with us, ahead of us, leading us into a world where love and compassion is shown for all people. So,
man, that you really do dig this passage, huh?
I just think it's so there are questions that I have about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the very beginning, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I have messed up so many times.
There's only two. What's wrong?
And
Adam?
I have
just
messed
you just
those
two.
Up,
come
right?
on.
So
what,
like so you will keep my commandments. So you're getting at something that's really important in this.
Right.
You will keep my commandments. He doesn't say you will keep the commandments.
Right.
Right. So what's the difference between my commandments and the commandments?
Are you asking?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, my understanding is when Jesus says my commandments, he means those two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself.
That's hard.
It is. It is.
Loving God with all of your heart, mind, and soul,
or
it's
however that's a right? difficult translated word, but yeah, that I don't do that well either. I like things.
Yeah, I know.
I just like things.
And love your neighbor as yourself.
You know,
I have a hard
smell.
Time loving. Yeah, I know they smell, and I smell. I have a hard time loving myself sometimes.
Right?
So. How can I love my neighbor? And sometimes if I love my neighbor as myself, I wouldn't be loving my neighbor very well.
Right. Right. Sometimes it's better just to fake it.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it. That was one of the wisdoms from my preaching professors in seminary.
Really? Just to fake it till you make it?
She actually said it. Sometimes you don't believe in it, but fake it till you make it.
Wow.
So,
you're really opening up the curtain on pastors right now for
right?
our listeners. And of course, Adam said, like, I don't understand that, because why would I do this if I never believe?
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
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 No.
So,
are hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. So that was my first question. Like, I love Jesus, but I don't always keep his commandments very well. But
isn't that partially why the advocate makes such a difference as well? To go and speak on your behalf? Because when we don't do well, to know that someone is going to be there and to say to God, even though it's essentially the same, they're trying, they're doing the best, let's not throw them out yet.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's really good. And it helps me. One of my favorite theologians, James Allison, says that faith is about relaxing.
Mm.
Like it's not about you trying harder and harder and harder. It's about relaxing into what God is already doing.
Yeah.
In the world and through you, and having that advocate the way you just described it really puts that together for me.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
that
so
makes
like,
a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, the advocate's the one that says you don't have to do the yard work.
Yeah. Right.
Their house is fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's good enough.
Yeah. That's awesome. Just relax.
Just
it's
relax.
Not about their yard anyway. It's about you.
The advocate
Let's work
is
on that.
The advocate is Jimmy Buffett.
That's awesome.
Which is I don't like Jimmy Buffett.
It's okay.
Yeah. I just can't do it. I can't. I've tried.
What don't you like about Jimmy Buffett?
Well, I mean, the one song he wrote and that he just did variations on like 300 times.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That about sums it up.
Okay. That's good. I like it.
Yeah. I tried. I did, but I can't do it. Did you have another thing about this passage?
Well, let me look. I guess it's verse 21, which is similar to the first verse that I had troubles with. But verse 21 is they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I love them and reveal myself to them. So
it's tough.
It's tough. Like I love Jesus.
Yeah, you do.
You know, but I there are times when I struggle and I just have faith that Jesus still loves me. And so those are just the two,
right?
The two questions. Like,
well,
Jesus,
it's the bookends. You looked at the bookends of the passage. It starts with commandments, end with commandments, but then has this whole sense of there's going to be a helper with you, an advocate, and I'm not going to leave you alone, and I'm going to be with you. You know, so like, yeah, this is what I'm expecting, but it's going to be okay. And and you're not going to be orphaned, but this is what I'm expecting. Yep. And I think if we took those two passages and we took them out and didn't look at that middle part, it would be really scary. Like, you know, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And those who keep my commandments are those who love me. And it's almost like, well, when I don't keep your commandments, does that mean I don't love you? And does that mean you don't love me? And now I'm full of anxiety.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then to say, like, but there's this advocate who's going to be speaking on your behalf, and I will be living in you and with you, Jesus says. I'm not going to leave you alone. I think to hold it in that, and one of the things I tend to do is I go to a summation of my life in the moment. So I would say, like, today, right now, I just haven't done well, as opposed to this process. I've been trying, and I'm still, I have this desire to do better, and I'm moving towards this place. It's instead of just trying to summate my life in each moment, to rather say my life is this process that's happening. You know, I fall into that trap all the time. I really do.
It's also easy to look at your worst moments and say, yep, that's me.
Yeah. We tend to do that, and instead saying, but those worst moments can't be the summation of who we are. And the Spirit, and that's also the Holy Spirit comes and says, no, stop it. Stop doing that to yourself. Yeah. Advocating on our behalf again.
Yeah.
Boy, that Holy Spirit works hard.
It's a beautiful thing.
I know. I hope we do you think the Holy Spirit bills by the hour?
I think it's free. At least I hope it's free.
It wasn't
my therapist
free.
Bills by the hour,
yeah,
but I
know,
think
right?
It wasn't the Holy free. Spirit does
if
not.
If you were a good evangelical, you would say, no, that spirit was paid for by the blood of Christ.
Oh. I'm a whore. I'm not an evangelical.
Clearly not.
That's not where I'm at. Yeah.
But that grace is there. I do think, I do like that idea, though, that this does speak against this overemphasis on salvation. You know, this like, I've accepted Jesus and I'm saved and I'm good. And like, oh yeah, well, show me.
Right.
Show me your salvation by showing me how much you love me, by living out my commandments. That still needs to be there. We don't want to become so mushy that we're like, ah, you guys are all fine.
Yeah.
You know, you bring a casserole to the potluck. Mm-hmm. That's all we, you know, that's good enough.
Yep. Yep. No, there's this bit I like the relaxing into God's love. It's not all about us, but also don't fall asleep in God's arms. You know, it's the whole it's the whole ascension thing. Stop looking up, look around you.
Yeah, sometimes we gotta mow the lawn because otherwise ticks will start to emerge, and
you don't want the ticks
because then you get Lyme disease and you die.
So, hey, you picked this passage.
Yeah, I'm preaching on it.
Yeah, you're preaching on it. What strikes you other than what we've talked about?
For me, it really is that presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And really relying on the Holy Spirit. And I see this as leading up to Pentecost. And I hadn't folded in the Ascension as much, but I probably will now. I mean, I still have a couple of days until Sunday. But that idea is that the Holy Spirit will help us in that active living out of the love we have for Christ.
Nice.
So it is. It's an active love. That love is a verb. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and we need someone to show us the way.
I dig it.
Nice.
I dig it.
All right. So go ahead.
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
The advocate is the Spirit of Truth.
Okay.
Whom the world cannot receive. So can we live in a, do we live in a post-truth world? Can progress, can our congregations hear truth? What do we do with truth when it, when truth language is so divisive?
That's a great question. I look at it similar to like with the Ascension, when it says the world cannot receive, that when we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're taking on a whole new language and citizenship and even vision. We see things differently. And we see a truth that can't be found anywhere else. And this, I would say, even as I stand alongside brothers and sisters of other faiths, you know, and as much as I will say, I won't condemn anyone for being of another faith, I will say there's a truth I see that they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a hierarchy of those truths, but I'd say there's a truth I see that they don't.
You know, I started on my face. I do a lot of interfaith dialogue, especially with Jews and Muslims. And every time I do that, I'm like, okay, let's just talk about what we agree about.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
On my Facebook page, I'm like, no, I'm going to be distinctively Christian here.
Good for you.
And I started talking about the vulnerability of God.
That's nice.
And some of my friends from other faiths just totally reject it. You cannot say that God is vulnerable because, you know, I mean, when we say that Jesus is fully divine, God dies.
Yeah.
God takes, like, and this is a stumbling block for many of my friends of other faiths. But
well,
it's
that's the, right out of scripture then, isn't it?
Right? It's the truth that I think we hold to, that that God takes human violence upon himself and offers forgiveness in return.
Yeah.
And there is a sense in which that is crazy. And other people of other traditions see that as foolishness,
right.
Wrong.
Yeah,
I don't have like, I'm not going to, if I was in a debate with them, yeah, we'd debate it. That's fine. But I get that it just, it's weird. get it.
And you can't say that, you can't condemn them for saying that.
Right.
Because it's only through Christ do you see the vulnerability of God as a strength, right? And it's just a, it's a truth that we claim.
Yep.
So yeah, I love that spirit of truth. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. So folks, read John 14, verses 15 to 21, and spend some time with it. It's really good. I am into hiking. I've mentioned it to Adam a couple of times already that I've got a sabbatical starting very soon. I've already mentioned that on the air too, starting soon. So that's why for listeners, these posts have been a little less often because I'm in the mountains in New York State right now. Right now, as you're listening to this, I am somewhere in the Adirondack Mountains converting a bear to Christianity.
How is that going for you right now, converting that bear?
Well, apparently it's harder to do it with only one hand, but I think I can still make it happen.
Good.
I think good thing my name's not Lefty.
Yeah. Well, the advocate is with you, so with or without that arm, you're good. Yes.
The bears in the Adirondacks are known for their hospitality and charity.
Wow, they're really nice.
Not at all. Awesome. But as we're recording this in May, I'm giving it's a transition month for me. So I'm trying to do 40 hikes in May around Rhode Island. You know, short little day hikes. I did one this morning. It was 2.5 miles. So not a long hike, but still in the woods. You know, it was raining, and there's something nice about hiking in the rain if you got the right clothing for it. And just really enjoying hiking every day and seeing different parts of Rhode Island, and really looking forward to going into deep woods, backpacking into the Adirondack Mountains. And for those who geek out about this, I'm doing the 46 High Peaks.
Oh, 46 High Peaks. That sounds intense.
Well, it depends on where you're from.
Okay.
You know, for me, these are all peaks that are over 4,000 feet. So that's intense for me. If you're from like Colorado, you'd be like, "Oh, that's where we start."
But baby pink.
Yeah, shut up, Colorado.
It's awesome.
So yeah, there's 46 peaks over 4,000 feet. So this summer I'm going to hike them all.
Nice. What do you like about hiking?
Part of it is the rhythm changes. You know, you don't have the things to distract you. You don't have to worry about driving or washing your hands. But yeah, you don't have to worry about washing your hands. It's just the whole rhythm. And even with the day hikes, like just in the woods, my mind can really wander and think about the things that are deep on my heart, otherwise I would distract myself from that. I don't listen to anything. I'm really deliberate to not listen to podcasts. I don't talk on my phone. When I'm in the Adirondacks, my phone is on airplane mode because I don't have reception anyways most of the time, which means I can't check Facebook, which is a part of a different rhythm. And just to really detach. And one of the things I'm doing, I'm bringing prayers with me for each mountain. Prayers by, you know, different saints and such. And I'll sit with a prayer at the top of each mountain. And just to sit with that, to know that I'm sitting with the community of saints, the cloud of witnesses. I say it now, but you know, probably midsummer I'll be so tired and angry that I'll be like, stupid prayers. They are nothing for me. Nothing. But yeah, just being out there and having to live in a different rhythm is liberating.
Are there any prayers that are your go-to prayers for that kind of situation, or any saints that are your go-to saints for it? Or
no, when I've done it in the past, I haven't really emphasized the prayers. So this is a new part for me.
Interesting.
So okay. I've been finding, you know, and like compiling 46 prayers. So I'm almost done with that. And just going with famous people, you know, Augustine, Calvin, you know, folks like that. Rauschenbusch has some great prayers. So I found some of his and. That's a new part for me to sit with.
That's very cool.
And to even sit is new for me. I like to be active, so I actually have to set my timer for 5 minutes, so I will just stay still for 5 minutes.
Why do you have a hard time being still?
I don't know. When I hike really quickly. So yeah. When people are with me, when my kids are with me or other people, I slow down, which I see that's a gift.
Yeah,
I enjoy hiking fast. There's more of a physical challenge to it, you know, the stamina challenge. You get into kind of a zone. Is there an adrenaline thing going on? And I get that, and I think that's okay, you know, every once in a while. But if that's what I do all the time, if I go too fast, I miss stuff.
Yeah, my pastor at our church is going on a sabbatical too, and she says that she wants to use this time to do more like creative stuff.
Right.
Art projects. She's also doing some hiking and some traveling. And I just kind of, as she was talking about it, I was kind of like, why do we have to go on a sabbatical? I mean, I like the idea of sabbatical. I think it's important.
Yeah.
But I wish that there were more ways for pastors to be able to fit or incorporate those kinds of things into our daily lives, because I imagine it's part of the reason that you have a hard time being still is because the pressures of the job just keeps us going and going and going.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy from a spiritual perspective.
I think part of the idea is when you return, you try to bring some of that back with you. It's like if you go on a spiritual retreat. Every time I've gone on spiritual retreats, I try to bring some of that back with me.
Yeah.
But you can't be fully in one, and I think that to immerse yourself, that's part of the idea, that you know this job is tough, and it's exhausting, and I like that it's different from an academic sabbatical, and I've been very deliberate about that. You know, I did my doctorate while working full time in a church, and I said I don't want to try to publish something. I don't want to do a research project.
That's a
lot. As much as I love doing that, I really do, I need to do something different. I need to replenish my faith in my connection with God.
Good. So when is the sabbatical starts in June?
June 1st.
June 1st.
When it starts and it ends August 31st.
Okay. Yeah. You're looking forward to it.
I am so looking forward to it. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Awesome. Yeah, if you want to come and join me in the Adirondack Mountains for 5 days.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. Yeah.
Next time, right?
That would
right?
be awesome. Next time. Yes.
How about you, Ben? What are you
well,
into?
Can I do two things real quick?
I'll allow it.
My
as long as one's not Gerard.
No, it's not Gerard.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know how you're probably not going to like this, but my therapist.
Well, it's good to set it up like that.
Why am I showing you this? People can't see it. My therapist suggested that I read Bruce Springsteen's book.
Really?
Born to Run. So I bought it a month and a half ago, and I'm on page 8.
Well,
I'm
he's
too
no...
busy. I'm too busy. There's just a lot going on.
Well, Bruce Springsteen has been described as the Proust of today.
Yeah. My therapist said, like 6 months ago, he said, hey, I'm reading Bruce Springsteen's book, and that's a guy who has done a lot of self-reflection. So I would recommend it to you. So I bought it. And it's not that I don't like the first 8 pages of it. Right. There just really is just a lot going on. But the first 2 sentences just really got me hooked and thinking, wow, this could be a really great book. So here they are.
Okay, let's hear them.
I come from a boardwalk town where almost everything is tinged with a bit of fraud. So am I.
Wow.
I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is some serious self-reflection. I'm tinged with a bit of fraud. The first 2 sentences of the book, and I'm going to tell you how I am tinged with fraud.
Wow, that's great. I mean, you could just stop right there. Yeah, you've read enough. Adam, you don't have to finish the book.
That's what I was – I was like, the first 2 sentences are just like –
That's all you need.
Mind-blowing and awesome, and this is what the book is about, how I'm tinged with fraud.
Nice.
So I don't know, it just really resonates with me.
That's great.
Because I guess I'm tinged with fraud too.
Well, who's not though?
and I grew up in a town, in a country, in a world that is tinged with fraud, and that has influenced me, and here we are. So how do we deal with our fraudness? Is from what I got from my therapist, part of what he's getting at in his book is how do we deal with our inner fraud.
Right. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Oregon State, is that tinged with fraud?
No, none. Beavers are completely fraudless. Here's what
I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak pro Oregon State. So
I appreciate that. I was celebrating my brother's birthday a couple of days ago, and the Beavers baseball team ranked number 1 in the country. Was playing the Ducks.
Oh man.
They went on of course. The Ducks aren't even ranked.
Wow. This is the University of Oregon Ducks.
Yes, the University of Oregon.
Make sure our
everybody likes their football team. They have nice colors. Whatever. The Beavers baseball team, man. That's where it's at.
That's where it's at. Beavers baseball.
Beavers baseball.
Beavers baseball.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. I always love bashing the Ducks.
I know you do. I wanted to give you that opportunity.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
so
next time we do an episode, we're going to actually bring in a live duck and a live beaver and have them fight.
Beavers are hardcore,
they
man.
They are hardcore.
Teeth. You do not want to mess with a beaver.
Yeah, the tail alone.
No, yeah. They are rodents, so that's kind of gross.
Yeah, that is gross. I really don't like related
to rats.
Yeah.
So that's kind of disgusting too, but we just won't talk about that anymore.
Okay. So what was the other thing that you're into?
Related to hiking.
Yeah.
I've been running
for
the last 2.5 years.
Nonstop?
I'm running right now in case you didn't notice.
Oh, you have one of those desks.
Yes, that's awesome. So I'm hoping to run my first half marathon.
Oh, wow.
This summer. So July 3rd.
Okay.
There's a nice marathon here in town. So I'm working towards that.
And,
it's good. Like you were talking about hiking.
Yeah.
A lot of similarities.
You just let your mind go.
You let your mind go. And interestingly, when I let my mind go as I'm running, it clears it, and I'm somehow just clearer thoughts are able to come to me.
Yeah.
So when I get stuck in a sermon or an article, I go out for a run, and oftentimes that just clears my mind up.
Nice.
So that's cool.
But
it's also like the first – it's also one of the only times when I'm aware of my breathing.
Oh, interesting.
So I have to keep breathing at a certain pace. Otherwise, I get a side ache. Bad things happen if I don't
breathe. And you could die.
You could die.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, so now we have two things that could lead to death: ticks and not breathing.
Well, bears can rip off your arm.
Well, yeah, but that won't kill you.
That won't kill
you. I mean, they're still known for their generosity and charity. They're only taking one arm, for crying out loud. I mean, how awesome is that? They're like, that's all I need. We are not a greedy people.
Yeah, that's good. Just need one arm.
Now tell me more about this Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So running, yeah.
Yeah, so I have to keep my breathing at the same – at a similar pace as when I'm running and focused on that. And there are times when I hit the wall like halfway through and I start thinking, you know what, Adam? It's okay. You can stop.
Wow.
And sometimes I do. Uh-huh. Sometimes I stop and I'm like, yeah, that was okay. But there are times when I just break through that wall.
Nice.
And it feels good.
You know what that means? We need a bigger wall.
Yeah, I know, right? We need to build a bigger wall.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And I am so glad to hear that there are times you have the compassion to say it's okay to stop.
Yeah.
And other times when you say, I'm going to push through. Because that's really essential. I've been running for exercise for a long time, but I've never trained for anything like a half marathon. I've never done anything more than a 5K.
Yeah.
So my hat is off to you. That's another world.
This will be my first official run.
Okay.
So I figure as long as I can keep a good pace and I'll be fine. So
Are you going to carry a beaver when you do your run?
No.
I think you should. I think you should get a live beaver, put an Oregon State t-shirt on it, and carry it under your arm. The whole – if not a live one. Now, it's your first half marathon, so I get that. Maybe just a stuffed beaver.
Okay.
Maybe just a stuffed animal kind of beaver.
Yeah. My son has some stuffed animals, some stuffed beavers.
There we
go. That'll work.
I am now quickly backing away from this whole conversation.
Awesome. Yeah. So hiking and running and Bruce Springsteen.
Nice.
You're all a bunch of frauds. Just own it.
Yeah, we all are.
And move on from there.
I'm not wearing pants right now, and you never would have known that.
You are such a fraud. Thank you. At least you were honest. An honest fraud is good.
Actually, I'm wearing pants, so that's even worse.
Oh gosh, I don't know what I don't know if I can believe you anymore.
No, up and down is up is down. Who knows what's going on?
No idea.
Adam, once again, it's been great to have you on the podcast.
I love being here. Always
a treat.
I love being here.
Excellent.
It was a lot of fun, and thanks for having me back.
Yeah.
There's no place that I would rather be than talking with you.
Thanks, man.
Last 2 hours. So you are you always make me laugh and make me smile. So but what I want to say to our listeners who have stuck with us is that 12 enough. You need to go on and subscribe to the podcast, because it's now capital T.
Oh, you got it. Good.
Enough, and capital E. For enough.
Yep.
And I went over and subscribed yesterday because I was like, where's my 12 enough? Because it wasn't coming to me. So go over, subscribe. I left another review for you.
Oh, thank you very much. So you and Dan Burtwell.
Yes. It's a fantastic podcast. So I encourage everybody to go over, resubscribe, 12 enough, capital T, capital E.
Nice.
And leave a rating and a comment.
Yeah.
Because the 12 enough podcast, Jonathan Malone deserves.
Wow, man.
It's awesome.
Thanks. You did everything I needed to do.
Good.
What time is your worship service?
10:30.
10:30. So if you're in the Lake Oswego area or the Portland area, right?
Yes.
Go to the Lake Oswego United Church of Christ. Ask for some faith development.
we'll give it to you.
Yeah, go there and say, I need some faith development.
You can even go onto our YouTube channel and find faith development there.
Excellent. So go there at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. Check out the Raven Foundation. And that is, what is it again? The Raven.org?
RavenFoundation.org.
So RavenFoundation.org. There's a lot of good stuff going on there. Adam writes some excellent blog posts about things happening that is current in the world. Things are actually important, not like complaining about yard work. Although I want to see you bring Gerard into that. Sir, I challenge you. go check all that stuff out. If you want to find me, if you're in East Greenwich, except not during the summer, but otherwise, you can find me at the First Baptist Church in East Greenwich, Rhode Island. Our worship service is at 9:30. Come to the Facebook page, 12Enough, Facebook.com/12Enough, the website, 12enough.com. Like Adam said, make sure you resubscribe, go to iTunes, leave a rating and a comment and all that. I had to start from scratch, unfortunately, but this was a good decision for the future of the show. And as always, thank you very much for listening. Twelve Enough is a podcast about Christian faith and culture in the modern age. Your host, we're Jonathan Malone, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of East Greenwich, Rhode Island, and Adam Erickson, the education director at the Raven Foundation and the minister of faith development at Lake Oswego United Church of Christ. The thoughts, ideas, opinions, ruminations, moments of brilliance, moments of wonderings, and just regular moments that happen on this show do not represent the Otis family always taking you to new heights. They do not represent their churches, their denominations, their families, the great state of Oregon or of Rhode Island. Certainly do not represent Oregon State. Go Beavers. These are their own ideas. This is their podcast.